The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. It was before the festival of the Passover, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to pass from this world to the Father. He had always loved those who were with him in the world, but now he showed how perfect his love was. They were at supper, and the devil had already put it into the mind of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had put everything into his hands, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And he got up from table, removed his outer garment, and taking a towel, wrapped it round his waist. He then poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he was wearing. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "At the moment you do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." "Never," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "If I do not wash you, you can have nothing in common with me." "Then, Lord," said Simon Peter, "not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said, "No one who has taken a bath needs washing. He is clean all over. You too are clean, though not all of you are." He knew who was going to betray him. That was why he said, "though not all of you are." When he had washed their feet and put on his clothes again, he went back to the table. "Do you understand," he said, "what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and rightly, so I am. If I then, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you should wash each other's feet. I have given you an example so that you may copy what I have done to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
I think we're already aware that Pope Francis is quite a different operator to that of Pope Benedict. Every person, of course, is different. Sometimes it's refreshing for everyone to have a change. And you probably know already, if you didn't, Pope Francis is celebrating the Mass of the Lord's Supper this evening, not in one of the great basilicas of Rome, but in the Castle del Marmo, a prison for young offenders, where he will wash the feet of some of the inmates. And this is no change for him, because when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he used to celebrate Mass in prisons, hospitals, or shelters for the poor and marginalized. And in a way, that's highlighting two aspects of this evening: the ministry of service to one another, which Christ himself instituted this very night. And of course, the ministry that is given to the priest to minister to the people in every way. And also the command to love, which goes with it. Someone remarked that Francis reminds them very much of Blessed John the 23rd. And I recall that on his first Christmas Day as Pope in 1958, he went to the local prison in Rome. Many bishops do indeed go to various prisons and institutions like that on major festivals. Maybe they have one, the midnight Mass or the Easter Vigil in the cathedral, and then the morning, Christmas morning, whatever, go to Dartmoor or wherever it is. And that just reminded me of an article that's in the New Catholic Herald for this coming weekend about the Feltham Young Offenders, where one of my former assistants has been the Catholic chaplain there for over 10 years. And there's a picture there of him and the papal nuncio on the nuncio's visit to the young offenders, not to mention the time when the relics of St. John Bosco went there late last year, or a while ago St. Teresa of Lisieux went to Wormwood Scrubs. And Bishop Christopher will well tell you of a time we had a great occasion when I was in the Vern as chaplain to the Vern prison. You've never sung Latin and plain chant with a Caribbean and African lilt to it. And he said, we'll never forget that, because the Africans loved the Latin. They always wanted the Latin, and they wanted the plain song, but it had a sort of African beat that went with it, which was a little different to the way we do it. Now, of course, some people can feel uneasy about going into those places, or about, indeed, the foot washing and the symbolism. But it's very potent. And we've seen pictures already of Francis when he was in Buenos Aires washing maybe AIDS victims' feet, or, as I say, young offenders or the marginalized, wherever it was. It's just a reminder that that's the world and the people to whom Jesus came. And he said to the upright and the churchy people that the prostitutes and the sinners are going into the kingdom before you. And in that sense tonight, we symbolically do that washing of the feet. But it does affect us, and so it should. But there are many that find it hard. So when, in a few moments, I say, maybe 12 of you will come forward. I know one or two who are normally here and normally would come forward are not here. We shall see. But it's that symbolism of what's done. Of course, for most of us, we don't need to wash each other's feet. We haven't tramped through the dusty, hot desert lands of Palestine and the Holy Land at the time of Jesus, where it was exactly the right thing for a servant to do. And yet daily, we're surrounded by different ways in which people are doing something in humble service for others. Parents perform so many things for their infant children in their early days. And you tend to your children when the first aid is required on grazed knees or whatever it is, rather than leaving them to tend for their own needs. Some teachers will find that extra time to coach the pupils who find maybe one particular lesson difficult to understand. Nurses and care workers sensitively help with intensely private, personal tasks for their patients, which the patients can no longer perform independently. Or maybe it's the bus driver that just waits patiently while a passenger fumbles for their fare or their travel pass. Many daily instances of tiny acts of service that we can overlook or take for granted, but nevertheless, which Jesus enjoins on all of us. And of course, today we hear very quickly when they fail. When nurses aren't looking after them, we hear about it. When teachers are not doing the right thing, we hear about it. But we don't hear about all the good and all the little acts that go on all the time. And it is just a reminder that that is what the Lord gives us, that example. And we shouldn't even need to have to be told to do it. But he does. And that's exactly what he does. He doesn't just tell them. He actually went and did it. He washed their feet and then said, I've given you an example. and this you are to follow. Loving service of humanity, it's celebrated as Jesus institutes both his own body and blood to strengthen humanity, to nourish and strengthen us. That's why the oils come forward. I always say, and one of the prayers, the prayer for catechumens, says about strengthening. And what the body and blood of the Lord does is nourish us, and he nourishes us with his word. And all that comes through tonight. And he institutes, as it were, the priesthood, so that they can be there to do that on for you. And that's right. And always remember, the Pope bears that title, servant of the servants of God. And that symbolic act tonight that we do is always accompanied by the refrain, Ubi Caritas et Amor Deo Sibi Est, where charity and love are, there is God. It's one of those beautiful phrases that you can take away with you and be thinking of throughout the year, not just tomorrow and next week. Ubi Caritas. Because that's what the Lord said. I've given you an example of love. You are to love one another. I think a lot of people tonight think that why don't we get the sort of institution of the Eucharist, the Last Supper story from St. John, because Mark, Matthew and Luke give that in a short chapter, and we heard Luke's version of it on Sunday as part of the Passion. But John, as it were, pours out in heart in love, and he gives you five chapters of what Jesus said at the Last Supper. Those chapters, 12 to 17, that he's pouring out his heart. And John knows the Eucharist, I've given you that in a whole chapter, chapter 6. I think he's making the subtle point here that maybe not unlike St. Paul had to face as well with the squabbling Christians of Corinth, that you don't understand what it means to celebrate the Eucharist unless you're prepared to perform the humblest service to the lowliest and the least exciting task for one another. Jesus, the suffering servant, shows us the way, feeds and nourishes us on that way. Where he goes, we hope to follow.